Today on Real Radio.
If you're thinking about getting married, first of all, don't marry them unless you're impressed with their Christian walk. Guy, are you impressed with her walk? I don't know, she's awful cute though. Hey, brother, that's gonna wear out, pal. That's gonna be gone. He is so strong. That's gonna go away. It's all gonna go away. Listen, ask some of the older people around here. Ask them. Oh yeah, it goes away.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're looking at chapter 3 now of this four-chapter account, and it's the wonderful story of Boaz meeting Ruth and falling in love. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Just Say I Do.
She is willing to submit to Boaz's love and accept his love. And I want you to consider something. There's four manifestations this morning that we see of her doing this, found in verse 7. There's four things that display her act of submission. Number one, it says that she went, that is, she went to where he was. By doing so, she is declaring her love and submission to him. Number two, she came softly, that is, with respect. She came respectfully toward him. Isn't that interesting? The Bible tells us, wives, respect your husbands. Oh, that's a big thing to men. That's why men often flourish in their jobs more than in their homes, because when the lack of respect is gone, they still are able to maintain it at home, at work. And that's where they find a lot of their worth. And we'll talk about why that's the case in a little bit. The third thing is, she uncovered his feet. All right, now she's getting back at him. No, that's not what it is. She's uncovering his feet. It's a very godly thing. She is uncovering his feet, meaning she's covering herself with his authority. Now remember, Boaz was quite a wonderful man. This is all a great thing for her to do. She's excited about it. I know if she came up here, if Ruth came up here right now and we were to interview her, she would drive like Gloria Allred insane. But Ruth would come up here and say, hey, girls, listen, girls. She'd say, I want to talk to you and you only. I'm not going to let this guy out of my sight. He treats me like a queen. She's excited. Look at the final thing. The fourth thing in verse 7 is that she laid down. She waited. The word says laid down. It is that she waited. Four steps of submission that this woman gives as an example. Now, hey guys, listen to this carefully. In all of this, you can see here this thing about submission and how Ruth is receiving now him as her covering and she's putting herself under him, so to speak. And you can almost hear Tim Allen in the background go, you could almost in your little mind begin to concoct a picture that in a moment Boaz is going to jump up, grab a club, hit Ruth over the head, and drag her back to the cave. And you'd be wrong. Here she comes with all of these manifestations of respect and of submission. And what's Boaz going to do? That's right, woman. Submit. No, a man of God can't say those things. It'd make him sick. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and the Father has put all things under his feet and gave Jesus Christ to be head over all things to the church. And you say, yeah, I understand that. Okay. Well, in Ephesians 5, it goes on to say, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. And every husband knows Ephesians 5:22. They may not even be Christians and they know Ephesians 5:22. Hey, woman, doesn't the Bible say to submit? Well, listen. If you walk out on this message, you're missing a big, big thing. Because what is the man to be like? What kind of man is a woman to submit to? A godly man. A godly man. Ruth never had an issue about submitting to Boaz because he was a godly man. In the Bible, it says that the wife ought to submit to the husband. Watch this. It says that the husband's head of the wife. And every man will say, yeah, I'm the head. I'm the head. Hey, woman, I'm the head of the house. Yeah, you know, God says that. Yeah, Promise Keepers teaches it. Men can quote it. You know what the word head, head of the wife means, head? It's the word capto. It's where we get the word taken captivity. The word means that you go to the sacrificing block first. It means to be killed first. I'm the one to be killed first in this family. That's what the word means. You want to quote it now, guys? You want to say, I'm the head of the house. The word means you die first, buddy. That's what the word means. You die first. Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 24 means the husband dies to his own demands and he gives his life for the wife, even as Christ gave himself for the church, who gave himself as a savior and as a sacrifice. You're to submit, woman. Why? Because I'm the head of the house. Hey, she's to submit while you're dying to yourself. I make it a point when we do weddings in the vows that we've done up. The girls love to read in their part where it says, I vow to submit unto him as he submits unto the Lord. That's important. I've had so-called Christian men ask their wives to submit to them and do such and such a thing, which was the most horrible and ungodly thing. I'll give you a mild one. Can you believe this? So-called Christian, not. This man said, you know, we're really hurting financially. So instead of him getting another job, he suggested that his wife go and strip at a strip club because she happened to have been built for that kind of, or look good for that kind of a thing. So he says, yeah, you know what? Why don't you go do this? We need extra money. So-called Christian. That is absolutely insane. And he had the guts. And I, you know what? It was one of those brief moments in the ministry where I almost punched a man. I'm not saying this to be funny. You know things are coming when you switch your ring over to your other hand so you can hit this guy. And then the Lord reminds me, don't be a brawler. You're not to be a brawler. And it's like, oh, God, help me. Can you believe this? He says, she's supposed to submit to me. Oh. Oh. Can you believe this is happening? That's ungodly. You don't have to talk about submission and obedience if the husband would be like Jesus Christ. Well, who can be like Jesus Christ? Well, then stop saying, I'm the head of the house, aren't I? Yeah, you know what? By decree of God, the husband is the head of the house, if you like it or not. That means the husband's going to stand and give an account in the end for the welfare of the home. And ladies, you don't want that responsibility. I haven't met a man yet who wants it. But it's the way God's done it. You can take that issue up with God. But that man better wake up to the reality of his position and start living like a Boaz. And you know when it's working, because that woman's going to go, he's just great. I love him. He's just wonderful. He doesn't come blasting on in. And I've heard it all. Well, Jack, you don't know what, I work 12 hours a day and I come home and I'm thrashed, man. I don't have anything else to give. I know the feeling. You know what? One of my jobs is to listen to people. And the last thing I want to do when I get home is listen to anything. I want to veg. I just want to get dumb and just sit there and go, Bombs can be going off, you know. It's just, I told you guys, I don't golf, but every Sunday after church, I watch golf. I have for years. I don't understand what end to hold on the club. Which one do you hold? I don't care. I can't tell you who's their names. I watch them every week after third service. I just watch it. I'm not kidding. Lisa and the girls know. They just know. Oh, there he is. It's just, don't even talk to him. It won't even work. I'm thrashed. I know, husband. I know. You come home. Man, I've been giving and giving and giving all day. Why is that? Why is the man like that? First of all, ladies, listen. We are like this. We get up in the morning, and this is our mind. This is the way we work. We're putting it on armor. Put the helmet on. We got the sword and shield, and in our minds, we go to battle. We slay dragons all day long. That's the way we think. When we go to, we might have a suit on, and we go to work, we pull up in the car. It's not a car. It's a tank. It's true. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. We get up, we walk into the company. It's not a company. It's a fortress. We have a briefcase. It's not a briefcase. This contains the latest nuclear device, handheld, slayer of dragons. We are knights in shining armor. We go to our jobs, and the whole thing's a war. We don't have to wear combat gear. It's already on in our heads. That's how we think. And when the end, we give ourselves so much, and you know how men are, we've got to be focused on this one thing. And it takes everything we got to get through the day. Women are miracles. They've got a phone in one ear. They're ordering things. They're typing on the machine. They've got a foot on the keyboard. They're preparing this. And it's a miracle. It's like, how do women do this? Like octopuses, their arms come out. They're working. All these different things. Hey, don't talk to me. I'm about ready to plug this thing in. It's the way we are. And when the man comes home, the woman wants the man to talk. Or when they finally get together in the evening after they come home from their jobs or from their callings or from their situation, she says, and it doesn't matter if she's talked 20,000 million words in the day, she says, let's talk. And he says, I can't. I just can't. I have nothing left. Guys, we need to go home. Halfway home, or maybe the moment we leave the fortress, we need to be saying, Lord, give me strength now to communicate, to talk, to be up. Help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Well, golly, you're just going home. Yeah, but where does all the trouble happen? He never talks to me. We're having marital problems, and you ask the woman why. He doesn't show me any attention. He doesn't listen to me. Ruth was in love with Boaz because Boaz, I think, listened to Ruth. Listen, he's somewhere between 35 and 45. She's 18 to 25. Did she fall in love with his looks? Probably not. And what about him? He's very wealthy. He's got a lot of power. Why would he marry some young kid? That's pretty risky and spooky. Why waste the time? Both of them loved God. That's what they saw in each other was the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are thinking about getting married or you're single, Boaz saw things in her. She saw things in Boaz. Listen, if you're thinking about getting married, first of all, don't marry them unless you're impressed with their Christian walk. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, Christian walk. Guy, are you impressed with her walk? I don't know, she's awful cute though. Hey, brother, that's gonna wear out, pal. That's gonna be gone. Are you impressed with her walk? He is so strong. That's gonna go away. It's all gonna go away. Listen, ask some of the older people around here. Ask them. Oh yeah, it goes away. It goes away. Before you marry that person, Are you impressed with their Christian walk? Then wait. But we already ordered the flowers. Wait. But the photographer is really hard to get. Wait. You're not marrying the photographer. They can wait. Be impressed. Listen. It says in verse 8, "Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, 'Who are you?' And she said, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman.'" She says three things. Did you get them? First thing is, I'm Ruth. Hey, do you see something missing? Does she say, "I'm Ruth, the Moabitess"? Not now. She's made the decision to marry this man, to say yes to him. She says, "I'm your maidservant." And you might say, "Well, gosh, I don't like the way that sounds. Does that mean she's standing there with her hair pulled back like Aunt Jemima with a bucket in one hand and a mop in the other with an apron on? Oh, hi, Boaz, I'm Ruth. I'll scrub your floors and cook your meals." That's not what she's saying. It's a beautiful term in that cultural region, and 4,000 years ago, it's a very cute thing to say. In our modern day vernacular, we would say something like this: "I'm Ruth," and whatever works for you, you know. "I'm Ruth, your sweetheart. I'm Ruth," you know, in my deep romantic way, my mind thinks, "I'm Ruth, your pumpkin." Whatever's in your life. "I'm Ruth, your snookums." That's what she's saying. "It's me, Ruth, your honey." It's dark. He's going, "Who's there?" He just woke up. He's startled. "Who are you?" "I'm Ruth, your sweetheart." And what does he say? Well, before he has a chance to say anything at all, she blurts out two announcements. Wonderful things. She says, "Take your maidservant under your wing." That doesn't mean give me a hug. It means you can begin now the course of redeeming me. Do the legal stuff you need to do, Boaz. My answer to you is yes. Isn't that neat? Yes. Yes, I'll marry you. And also, she says, "For," or the word can actually, some of your Bibles might have it correctly translated, "because." I like that better. It says, "For you are a near kinsman." She says, "Because you are a near kinsman, you can redeem me out of my widowhood, out of my poverty, out of my singleness. You're the one." And there's a very cute, almost kind of boasting in this. She's coming with absolute assurance. She's confident. She's flourishing, because you can, you know, when you're loved and you know it. There's confidence there in a godly way. She says, "I'm Ruth, your honey. You take me under your wing because you're my kinsman. You're the one." Now look what he says. Verse 10 to verse 14, she listens to him. She submits even in listening. Look, he says, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." You didn't go after the latest hype or whatever, or the trendy thing, or whatever is the norm. Look what it says, verse 11. "And now, my daughter," watch, "do not fear." Can you underline that in your Bible or mark it in your notebook? Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I looked this up, this statement, "don't be afraid." I looked it up. And it's almost too much to count in the Bible how many times God says to his people, "do not fear. Don't be afraid." He says it hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Boaz is saying, "Sweetheart, don't be afraid." Why did he say that? Why did he say this? Everything's going great. Why do you say, "Don't be afraid"? Why? What's there to be afraid of? Well, Boaz knows something that she doesn't know right now. She's going to find something out that's going to shock her. He says, don't be afraid. First of all, I will do for you all that you request. And she's got a big smile. Remember, she's all dolled up. She's looking so good. Don't be afraid. Great. I'm going to do all for you that you request. Great. Super. For my people know, all the people of my town know that you're a godly woman. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great, Boaz. Love it. Super. Look at verse 12. Now, it is true. You can see him. Come on. He's sitting there going, it is true that I am a near kinsman. Yeah, that sure is true. I sure am. However, do you see that word however in your book, in your Bible? However, there's somebody closer than me. What was that, Boaz? There's someone closer to me. I could have swore a moment ago you said, there's someone closer in redeeming me than you are, which would really make things rotten, especially now that I've said yes to you. And I know that can't be the case because I would roll up my sleeves on my dress, go home, and slap Naomi about the head and face for setting me up. So I know you didn't say that. And he says, yeah, you know what? There is someone who's nearer than I am in redeeming you. Now, those of you who don't remember what we're talking about here, listen carefully, and I'll do this quickly. Do you remember Ruth was married to Mahlon? Mahlon's father was named Elimelech. She had married into a Jewish family, and also she had come to faith in God. She's now Jewish by faith, even though she's a Gentile. She's been converted. Okay? In the Jewish law in the Old Testament, she has been widowed. Her husband died. Also, her father-in-law, who's Naomi's husband, he's dead. Elimelech, the dead father-in-law, was related to Boaz. According to the law of God, Boaz was to take Ruth to be married because she never had any children. It's to carry on the family name and to retain the family's wealth and property. And whoever that is the nearest of kin is to perform by law the act.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verses 6 through 14. It's a presentation called Just Say I Do, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The account of Ruth meeting Boaz is such a beautiful story, and there's much to be gained from it. So we're making available Pastor Jack's presentation on audio CD called Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. It's just $10 and serves as a wonderful source of biblical wisdom in this area. Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. You can order by telephone, you can write us, or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or, for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.